Pastor Mike's going to come up and bring the message for today.
Victory Church. You all doing all right?
Yeah.
You're not depressed from the game, right?
No.
Oh, why did I bring it up? Sorry. It was on our minds yesterday. I just want to set you at ease. God's still in control. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Football is not our God. Our Heavenly Father is. He loves us very much. And you know what? All right. We'll get off that subject very quickly. Anyway, I'm so excited to be sharing with you part two of this series. And before I even get into it, I just want to take some time and let's honor our senior pastor this morning, Pastor Bill. And I always promise I would do this whenever I get up and share. In fact, I just want to share some stuff about him. What I've noticed about Pastor Bill, he's so consistent and steady in his walk with the Lord and his leadership of this church. Nothing ever seems to faze him. He's just smooth sailing. Things could be going crazy all around. In fact, he and John spent time just replacing, just yesterday, on a Saturday off, replacing a circuit board in the church. There could be lighting in that side lobby there. I mean, nothing phases him. He's just ready to do what God calls him to do. He meets with us pastors week in and week out to talk about the vision of the church, talk about the direction that we have, talk about just how we can improve and make things better and really bring the spiritual health of our church to a whole new level. That means you individually, of course. And would you just take some time with me right now and just give honor to our senior pastor? Thank you so much. I know he doesn't like the attention, but hey, everyone needs encouragement sometimes, and we just want to encourage you this morning. We love you so much. Amen. So why do we need to do a worship series now before heading into the holiday season? It's like right here, all the Christmas decorations are starting to come out, definitely in the stores, maybe not in your homes yet. But why now? And I was praying about it, and there are three reasons that God laid on my heart. Pastor Bill alluded to these before just in his first message, but I'm going to reword it a little bit. Three reasons. One, we need to draw close to God for ourselves heading into the season. We need to make sure our hearts are right going into the season because we can get distracted so much by the cares of this life, family coming in, the uncle that's crazy, it's like the conversations that we don't want to have, but they're going to come up among family members. You know, Thanksgiving's coming around, all the cooking that you're going to have to do, what are we going to cook? Are we going to have ham or are we going to have turkey? All the decisions that we got to make. But our focus needs to be on God for ourselves because we need peace during this season. We need joy during this season. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy, so we need that. It's one reason to draw closer to God. Second reason we need to draw close to God during this season, we need to do it for others. We need to do it for others. We need to be close to God for other people. Why? Because the more in tune we are to God, the more in tune we are to the needs of the people around us. Catch that? The more in tune we are to God, the more in tune we are to the needs of the people around us. That's a truth, and we need to be ready. This can be the best holiday season of your life if you draw close to God. And the third reason that we need to draw close to God during this season, just what I was praying about, I don't think we have the right definition of worship. I don't think we have maybe some of us do, maybe some of us don't, but it varies when you say, what does worship mean to you? What does worship mean to you? And a lot of people, they think of formal settings. They think of religious settings. They think of songs that they sing or a service that we have. And those are good. Those are great. But that's not really what worship is. Worship is when we give all of our time, our resources, our energy, and our focus to something. That's worship. That's worship. And Pastor Bill said this last week. He gave us four ways to draw closer to God. And the first way was arrange your priorities. Basically, prioritize God. Make him number one. Number one. What are you putting your energy, your focus, your time into? I guarantee you, if you make it God, oh, the rest of your life is just going to fall into place. You have so much joy and peace. In fact, there's a slide that I'm putting up, Kevin's going to put up for me now. It's, we all worship something. We all worship something. It's true, we all worship something. I mean, we all dedicate our time, our resources to something. Yesterday, I dedicated some time to this message for you guys. I also dedicated some time to football because I love football. Was that wise? I don't know. It was a little bit of a distraction, but hey, I just had to watch the Gators. I had to watch some SEC football because I love football. And guess what? God's okay with us loving stuff. That's okay. He gave us all things richly to enjoy. That's okay. What he doesn't like is when we love the stuff more than him. Amen. He just loves it when we love him more than all the other stuff on our priority list. Because something can get bumped off that priority list, but if God's throughout the top, man, we got joy. We got peace. We're satisfied. We're content. God, you're in control. It's good. Amen? That's why we need this worship series. We need to understand what worship is. We need to understand. So the title of the message is, we're made for worship. Made for worship. In fact, there's a great quote by Pastor Robert Morris. Got a quote up there. Worship is our response to what we value most. I like that. In fact, this whole message is really based on a lot of Pastor Robert Morris. He's a pastor from Gateway Church, and I think in Austin, Texas. Sister church and the association that we're part of, ARC, the Association of Related Churches. A lot of it came from his material and from Chris Hodges up in Birmingham. This is going to be a very deep message, if that's okay, this morning. It's going to be a foundational theological message. If that's not your thing, if you really like, man, just get to the practical stuff, that's okay. Next week, come back next week. Pastor Bill is going to get very practical next week about worship, okay? It's going to be very good. You're going to get a lot out of it. I think you're going to get a lot out of this. We're going to study what worship is. We're going to study. In fact, the best way to study what worship is, we need to ask ourselves a question. Who was the first worshiper? Kevin, you got that? Who was the first worshiper? I'm going to put you to work, Kevin. Sorry. So when I point to the screen, you just put up the next slide. Who was the first worshiper? And the reason why I ask that is we need, the best way to study something out of the Bible is to find out when it's first mentioned in the Bible. Like, what I hear is when you go to Bible school, they're going to teach you the law of first mention is what they call it. And that's where if you want to study something, get the purest teaching of it, you need to go to the first time it was mentioned. Well, who was the first worshiper? Some of you may not know this, but it was Lucifer, currently known as Satan or the devil. He was the first worshiper. In fact, I'm going to do some teaching a little bit about the three named angels that we have in the Bible. The first one is Michael, the archangel. I'm named now Michael Crimson. I mean, I'm glad my mom named me Michael, because he's the archangel. I'm so competitive by nature. When I was in high school, when I wrestled in high school, I just had to completely dominate the guy on the mat. Like, he had to just feel completely humiliated and just, like, destroyed. That sounds terrible coming from a pastor, but man, that's how competitive I was in high school. I've toned it down, in case you haven't noticed, but I'm still very competitive, and Lane can attest to that. And we can be hanging out just bowling, and if I don't get a strike each time, I'm like, because I'm more competitive with myself. But anyway, so I like the competition. Michael is the warrior angel. In fact, he's associated with prayer, because when we pray, the Bible says we dispatch, like, angels on our behalf. Like, they get sent to war for us. That's pretty cool. And Michael is the angel in charge of all those warrior angels. Second named angel in the Bible is Gabriel. Gabriel. And he's associated with the Word. He's called the messenger angel. And you basically, a lot of you know this from Scripture, you know, the nativity story, Mary hearing from an angel that she's going to bear a son, and she's a virgin, and it's going to be by the Holy Spirit that she's going to bear the Son of God. And it was Gabriel who came to her and gave that word to her, gave that message. Okay. And he's in charge of all those angels that give messages to people. And then the third angel, named angel in the Bible, is Lucifer. He's in charge of worship. He's in charge of worship. In fact, all three of these angels represent heaven, represent the angels in heaven. In fact, when Lucifer, the Bible says when Lucifer was cast down from heaven, it said he took a third of the angels with him. So a lot of theologians believe, and I believe this too, that all the angels are split up into three categories: prayer, word, worship. And in fact, a good church service should always have prayer, the Word, worship. And even our own personal times with God should have prayer, the Word, worship. It's just, this is what God desires. This is, if you want to have a great quality time with God this week, each day, take 5 minutes to pray, 5 minutes to read the Word, and reflect on it, and 5 minutes of just worship. And I guarantee you, you're going to get just a jolt of just joy and peace in the presence of God. It's the way God set it up. So, all right, I'm going to cover a lot of stuff. This is going to be kind of a journey. Are you guys okay? Yeah. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, thank you, Lord. God's with us. But I'm going to take you to a couple of passages of Scripture that a lot of Christians really don't study. They don't, I mean, you can go your whole Christian life in this life not even reading these Scriptures. And we're going to unpack some awesome nuggets about it, and it's going to be about Lucifer. In fact, two Scriptures, one from out of Isaiah and one out of Ezekiel. And before I get into Isaiah chapter 14, something we need to know is, if you understand the context, like, you can read these prophets, and they're talking about kings and nations and stuff, and a lot of times we can get lost in it if we don't understand that this passage is actually referencing not necessarily the king of Babylon, but the spirit behind the king of Babylon, the spirit that's influencing that nation. So this passage is actually going to be talking about it. You'll see it when we get into it. So Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star." See, it's talking about Lucifer. "Son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations." Next one. Oh, excuse me, go back one, sorry. So what we see is, like, Satan, of course, was expelled from heaven. He's a renegade angel. I mean, he got booted out. And a lot of theologians believe that this instance happened between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Praise God. But then, verse 2, it says, "But the earth was formless, without void, darkness was over it." Why? Because the devil was sent down there. He brought all this darkness to God's creation. And then in verse 3, it says, and God said, "Let there be light." Like, he had to get involved and bring light to the situation, push back that darkness. Okay, so just a little side note. All right, keep going. Next verse. "You said in your heart," and I've highlighted all these words that talk about what his heart was like, "I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God." Next one. "I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like," and look at what he calls God, "the Most High." The Most High. And what that shows me is that he resented God's position in heaven. Something crept into his heart, pride. He just resented the fact that God got all the attention, and he hated it. He hated it, and he decided one day, no, I want to be above you. I want to be above you. And we have to be careful not to have that in our own hearts and say, God, you know, this life has to be about me. This life has to be about me. It's like, no. It has to be about God. It has to be about God. We have to be careful not to exalt ourselves, do anything out of selfish ambition, but also we have to be careful what we pursue and what we go after, because if it's not the will of God, we're inadvertently giving the devil what he wants. He wants glory, and he wants you to do everything opposite of what God wants. Like, he's just totally happy if you just don't do God's will. You can do your own will, you can do his will, you can do whatever, as long as you don't do God's will, because in the end, he's going to feel like, I got all the glory from that. See what I did, God? I kept your people from you. How evil is that? Don't play into the schemes of the devil. Don't. Okay. And another passage out of Isaiah 14, verse 11. It says, "Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments." Now, I have that highlighted, and I want you to just kind of log this for a second. We're going to come back to it later in the message. But these stringed instruments, like, a lot of theologians believe that within Lucifer's being were stringed instruments. Like, he created music from his being, and he had stringed instruments built into him. Okay, log that. We'll come back to it later. All right. To Ezekiel. He's talking about, go and put that scripture on there. "Ezekiel, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you." Precious stone. Like, he was so glorious and beautiful. He had just precious stones all on his being. This is Lucifer when he was in heaven. Not now, but when he was in heaven, he looked, he was decked out. God really made him look amazing. Look at what he put on him. Carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli. I don't even know what that is. Turquoise and beryl. And that's just adorned, gorgeous in his being. Ladies, do you know what that is? Yes? Oh, okay. Well, all right. All right, next verse. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. What? I'm reading that. What are settings and mountains? Looked up another translation out of the New King James Version. It says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Timbrels and pipes. Timbrels are like cymbals and pipes, you know, stuff you blow in to create music. So he had like an old orchestra built into his body, stringed instruments, cymbals, pipes. In fact, no, don't get to that yet. But thank you, Kevin. Man, you're doing great. Give him a hand. He's doing an awesome job. I know I'm going through a lot. We're studying the first worshiper so we can really get a handle on what this worship thing is all about. I'm getting there. It's all going to make sense. It's all going to come together. Just hang with me, all right? Okay. Within Lucifer's being were all the instruments. And I grew up playing music. My dad got me a clarinet when I was in fifth grade. I started playing clarinet, playing throughout middle school. And I switched to saxophone when I was in high school during marching band, played in different ensembles. So I know a good deal about music. I played in the UF marching band. That was a lot of fun during Tim Tebow era. Glory to God, those were good days. And that was fun, going to those national championships, playing in front of a national audience. That was amazing. That was just God's goodness. I came out of a season where I needed some goodness, and God just lavished it on me. Man, it was fun. But I know a lot about music. Elaine, she's a music teacher. She knows tons about music, way more than I do. She went to UF for music education. She's an awesome music teacher now. And she teaches her little kids about the three types of instruments. Now we can put it up. Three types of instruments, string instruments, stuff that you pluck, you know, play, like, or you know, strum, string instruments, percussion instruments, stuff that you hit, and wind instruments, stuff that you blow into, like saxophones, trumpets, flutes, clarinets. All three types of instruments, and it's amazing. All three were in the being of Lucifer. He had it good, didn't he? Yeah, he had it good. All right, next verse. You are anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. Anointed. That means when he created music, it was powerful. It was powerful. It moved you. And I'm telling you, music to this day has the same power. God created music, and it moves you. It could be a Christian person singing a song. It could be a secular person singing a song. They can still move you. I mean, I went to, like, Lelaine and I used to go to the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra, and we heard this one piece called Mahler, and it was, like, the most glorious. Mahler, did I pronounce it incorrect? Mahler number five. Thank you, babe. So Mahler number five, I mean, it was the most beautiful. I mean, it moved us. I remember just being in the seat going, oh. Like I was, it wasn't the presence of God, but it moved. I mean, because why? God has anointed music. Music shapes culture. You can study the history of music. It shapes culture. It changes us. And there's a reason why, like, I prefer to listen to Christian radio as opposed to secular radio. I'm not here to convict anyone. I'll let the Holy Spirit just encourage you what to do. But I'm very careful not to listen to certain things that's going to promote a lot of ungodly stuff, a lot of stuff that's just, because I know, and I went through a season where I started listening to it, and it was changing me for the worse, not for the good. And don't be deceived. The devil still has this anointing on him, this power to influence through music. And if you just look at some of the stuff that's coming out in secular radio, secular music, man, you know the devil's getting his message out there. And just a quick little side note, did some research to one song in 1980, Ozzy Osbourne. You guys know Ozzy Osbourne? Came out with a song, Suicide Solution. In that year, suicide in America went up 400%. He got the message out. It changed people. It influenced people. So we got to be careful. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'll let the Holy Spirit. You just pray. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what you should listen to. And he will. Okay, next verse. You were on the holy mount of God, Lucifer. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Next verse. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. Trade. You know what he traded? He wanted to trade positions with God. He looked at what God had and what really belonged to God, and he wanted that. And we got to be careful not to have that selfish ambition, you know, that same selfish ambition. This is the essence of worship, okay, not to make that trade. But he did, and because of it, he was filled with violence, and he sinned. Whew. Next verse. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Whew. Next one. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Next one. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. All of heaven was looking when he rebelled, and God created a spectacle of him. In fact, it's really funny. Jesus talked about this. Some of you guys from the Life group will remember Chris Hodges making a comment about this one passage. I'm going to bring it up for those of you guys who weren't there at Life. Because I think it's funny, too. He thought it was hilarious. I think it's funny, too. But there's a passage in Luke chapter 10. It says this. Jesus saying to his disciples came to him and said, man, we cast out demons in your name. Like, even the demons obey us. And God's like, yeah, of course. Jesus, you know, it's my name. It's above every other name. In fact, Jesus says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You know what that says? Like, there was no fight. Like Jesus said, yeah, dad just kicked him out and boom, he was gone. And I think that's so cool about our God. Like, there's no struggle there. There wasn't this epic battle that lasted ages. No, it was a nanosecond. If someone wanted to create an epic movie, they couldn't make it of this. They could not. It wouldn't be accurate. Like, this movie would last one nanosecond. Okay? It wouldn't be, it'd be cool to see, but that'd be it. I just think that's cool about God. Amen? Don't you? It's just so powerful. Come on, that's just awesome. Okay, I'm excited. Now, so we studied this first worshiper, but now he's not in heaven. There's a vacancy in heaven for a worship leader. There's someone that a position on God's staff that he needed to fill. So the question is, on your sermon notes, you can write this in, who is the new worship leader? Who is the new worship leader? I think you already know. It's you. It's me. We were made for worship. You were designed by God to fill that position. That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. And it really makes a lot of sense, because when you look at people, like, there are some people, they're so gifted, they're so charismatic, I mean, they can draw crowds. And you're like, how in the world do they do that? Why? Because they're created to do that. It's built into them. They're created to fill that vacancy. And in fact, a very cool side note, you know how in Scripture we learn that Lucifer possessed all three instruments in his being? We possess all three instruments as well. Our vocal folds, a lot of people call them vocal cords, represent that string instrument. And we can sing, make music. We have the wind instrument, our lungs, singing glory, praise God. I can give glory and praise and honor with my lips. I can glorify him, proclaim his goodness. I mean, and what's the percussion? Come on. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. God built it all into us. All into us. We are created to worship. Made to worship. So, how do we respond to that? I'm going to give you a few truths, three truths that you need to know about how God created you, how God made you. All right? Number one, you write this down. God made me from him. From him. If you study the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, you're going to see that God created stuff and God made stuff. And that there's a difference. It's subtle. You may think, you're just the semantic. No. Just hang on. It's subtle, but it's important. And there's a principle behind it. Something's created. He said, let there be light. Boom. Light happened. It was there. He created it out of nothing. He spoke it. The purest sense of the definition of create is to just, it appears out of nothing. If something's made, though, it means it was made out of a substance, created out of a substance that already existed. So if I gave you just a lump of clay, I said, make a pot. Make a pot. You didn't create the pot. You made it out of what? The clay. Okay? So, in fact, I'll show it to you in Scripture in Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, then let the land produce vegetation. He spoke to the ground, said, produce vegetation. Seed-bearing plants and the trees on the land. He spoke to it, produce it. Why? There's a principle. There's a principle. And it's about the relationship between the what was created and what was made and created from. There's a relationship between the two. So for instance, the plant came from the dirt, sustained by the dirt, and it's going to return back to dirt eventually. Okay, there's a relationship there. Came from it, sustained by it, it's going to return back to it. So for us, we can look in Genesis 1:26, are we created or made? Let us make mankind from what? From us, in our image. He said, Pastor Mike, no, I read it. It says we came from the dust of the earth. Like our bodies did. Yeah. And our bodies were created from the dust of the earth. We're sustained by the earth because we eat food and stuff from the earth. And eventually our bodies are going to go back to the earth. You're not going to take this body with you to heaven. But our spirit came from God. Come on now, our spirit came from God. He breathed his life into us. We're created by God, sustained by him, and our spirit is going to return to him. That's cool. We're made from him. Second truth we need to know. God made me to be with him. To be with him. To be with him. It's really cool just to think about that. In fact, God really gives a great principle in Ephesians chapter 5. And this whole chapter is about marriage, and if your marriage is on the rocks, just read Ephesians chapter 5 and just start applying these principles, and it's going to bless your marriage, I guarantee you. But this is what God is talking about. He says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Where did woman come out of? Adam came from him. There's why? Made from Adam. Why? Because there's supposed to be a relationship there. Relationship. And God uses this principle of marriage. It's really cool. I mean, it's love. I love weddings. I loved our wedding. It was awesome. We had it right here. A lot of you guys were there. It was fun. I remember my mom just crying and like so tears of joy. Even Zach Hudson was back there crying like a baby. He used to be at this church anyways, but I love weddings. I'm gonna be doing a wedding this next week, actually. I want to be here next Sunday. I'll be doing a wedding. It'll be Lillane's sister who's getting married, and I found out a couple weeks ago I was going to do it. I'm like, huh? Pray for me. All right. But I love weddings. I love just seeing people who, why? Because you know, like, they're making that commitment to each other. I mean, they can't wait to just get out of there and, like, I'm glad you came, but we're off. You know, we're going to spend time together. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together. We're going to enjoy each other's company for the rest of our lives. And this next verse is just shocking. Shocking. Next verse. This is a profound mystery, but I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about Christ and the church. That's what God's looking for. Like God says, you see that couple who's just on... they got to be together. They always hang out. I want that. I want that with you. I want that. He's not distant. He's involved. And he wants you to love him in return because he loved you first. He loved you first. We're made to be with him. Oh, I love that. In fact, there's just a really cool thing that God's going to do. Because he created marriage to show us what our relationship should be like with him. And he has a plan to come back for us. Come back for us, his bride. It's a really cool plan. Here, I'll show it to you in Scripture. Revelation chapter 21. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. We're the wife, we're the bride. It has nothing to do with gender, if you guys are confused. Like, keep in mind, we're spirit, soul, and body. Like, our body's going to stay here. Our spirit's going to go on. There's no gender in heaven. That only makes sense in this world. In heaven, there's no gender. So it's not, okay, I just want to make sure it's clear so you guys aren't confused. That sounds weird, especially the guys. I'm a bride? I'm a man. No, it has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with your spirit. in our spirit. And Jesus is coming back for us. And guess what? We're going to have a wedding ceremony when we get up to heaven. A wedding ceremony. Like, that's what it's going to be like. It's not going to be just us just like in a choir just worshiping for a million years and just wearing robes and we're just standing here like this for a million years. It's not going to be like that. We're not going to be just bowing before God like, oh, I can't handle being in your presence and for a million years. It's not going to be like that. And we're definitely, I remember this cartoon where it showed people in heaven, they're on clouds and they get really fat and they have wings and they have a harp and they're just like chilling and making music. It's not going to be like that at all. That's not in the Bible. No, there's going to be a wedding and there's going to be a party afterward. Amen. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they're going to have those Filipino egg rolls that I love so much. It's called lumpia. Oh. And I'll have your favorite food there too. But I know, like, I'm going like straight to the Filipino egg rolls. It's going to be good. Amen. Let's go to the next verse. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So after we have this reception, this party in heaven, God's going to do something amazing. He's literally going to take a holy city that he created just for us and bring it down from heaven and set it on the earth. And catch this. Catch this. Keep going. Next verse. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. You remember what Lucifer had all over him? Precious stones. He takes all those stones from Lucifer and he gives it to us. Gives it to us. You think, well, that's kind of weird. No, it makes perfect sense if you understand, like around Christmas Eve time, husbands, you're going to be going to some jewelry stores. You're going to be finding something to give to your wife. And she's going to go flip out. I remember these times during Christmas when I just watched my mom and my dad. And my mom, like, it didn't, if it was a big package, she didn't care about it. But if it was small, she got excited about that small package. And she got, ooh, ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah. Like, this, seriously, I'm not embellishing. This is her, ooh, yeah, yeah. As she's tearing it apart, opening it, and she opens it, oh, and, like, shining, glowing up at her. It's like, mm-hmm. And I just looked at my dad, and he's just grinning ear to ear. Yeah. He's like, learn something. Amen. I think I did. You liked your ring. Anyway, but look at all the stones that God's going to just adorn this city. The first foundation, jasper, sapphire, agate, emerald, onyx, ruby, chrysolite, beryl. Next one, topaz, turquoise, I don't even know that, amethyst. I mean, all of that, beautiful. He's giving to us. That's really cool. Third truth we need to know. God made me to express love to him. So we're made from him, supposed to be with him. Now we're supposed to express love to him. To him. John chapter 4 says this. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship. And that word right there, it's interesting about that word when you study the Greek out of it. That word doesn't actually mean it doesn't actually mean worship. It means something else. But the translators just, they're like, what word can we use here? And they use this word, but I'll show you what it means in the Greek in a second. The Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Like, God's looking for this now, not later, not when you get your act together. Like, don't even worry about that. Now, worship. That word in the Greek, and I have it in your sermon notes, it's proskuneo. Proskuneo in the Greek. And this word, when you study it out, it's like, I heard Chris Hodges say this. He goes, it's shocking. And so I looked it up. It's shocking. Telling you the truth. It's shocking. It may even weird some of you guys out. You got, God wants me to do this. Are you ready? You ready for it? To kiss? To kiss? Let me encourage you. It's not the kiss between lovers. Or, you know, it's not that. Like, the best analogy for it, and it's even in the Greek definition, it's like the kiss that a dog makes to his master. It's like that affection, adoration. Like, anyone of you dog lovers? Raise your hand. Come on, raise them proud. Okay, lots of them. Okay, you know your dog's excited to see you, right? Like, When you come home, that dog's like licking at you. Okay. You know, God loves that. I have cats, so. And they love me. How dare you say boo. You ask Lilane, those cats are excited to see me. She's nodding her head. They're excited to see me. When I walk through the door, they're excited to see me. And even last night, like I had already fed, I was working on this message, making the final touches, and I already, and I was just sitting on my couch, and my cats would not leave me alone. I had already fed them. They would not leave me alone. One of them was just kind of like, meow, meow, meow. I'm like, what? I fed you. And then this one cat, like she'll be quiet if I just pick her up and hold her. And then she just purrs and purrs. And the other cat, that was Bibi, and the other cat named Missy, she comes up to me and she just starts licking my arm. Such affection. I know she's like thinking she's grooming me, but it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. Does it make you feel good when your pet shows you that love? Okay. God is so amazing and awesome. And really, truly, our relationship with him needs to be that. Our worship needs to be that proskuneo. It needs to be that kiss of affection. I serve you. I serve you, God. That kiss of affection. Like, draw close to God. Let him be your all. Let him be your focus. Like, worship is what you dedicate your time to, your focus to. And let's just take some time right now. Just reflect. I know it covered a lot. It was you guys did an awesome job on this journey today. No, you guys did an awesome job just listening to it all. But truly, like, this is what God wants from us. He wants our love. He wants our dedication. He says, I just want you to love me. I love you. And the thing is, the Bible says he clearly demonstrated his love for us. How? By dying for us. Like, God sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And I'm telling you, in America, this can sound so cliche. Let's never let this scripture become cliche in our hearts. That Christ died for us. That he paid the price for us. He stood in our place. Like, our sins forgiven. And right now, you know, in this time of reflection, if you're in a place where you've never really experienced that kind of love, where you never really experienced that love and that worship, that adoration to God, you know your heart's not living for him. I want to give you an opportunity right now to make that decision. To make that decision in your heart to really love God because he loves you. And he said it this way, it's a free gift, our relationship. You don't have to do anything. I did it all. I took care of the barrier that was between you and me, that sin. I took care of it on the cross. You don't have to, that doesn't have to weigh you down. That doesn't have to divide us anymore, separate us. If you receive this gift, I'll wash it all away, and I'll come into your heart, and I'll cause you to experience new life, and you'll feel my love, my presence. So every head bowed, every eye closed, please, right now, just be really quiet and still if possible, and it's time of reflection. If you're in that position where you know you're not where you want to be with God, but you want to get right back on track with him, you want to serve him with all your heart, would you raise your hand right now? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to call you up. Thank you. Back. Thank you. I'll lead you in a prayer, and everyone, will you join me in praying this prayer with me? And just mean it in your heart, okay? Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life for what it is. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart, creating me a new heart. And say this, I make you my Lord. I give my life to you, Lord. The past is the past. I'm moving on with you right now. In the name of Jesus, I receive your love. I receive your spirit. And I call you my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God praise? Amen. Amen. Good morning. Thank you, Victory Church.